I want to start in 1 Timothy chapter 1. What? You were there. You know what they say? You are too superstitious there.
I like it.
Yeah, it is strange how things just fall in. I've been fascinated with numbers. Every time I look at the clock, it's 9:11. I yell at Brenda, you know what time it is? She yells, 9:11. It's weird. It's like ingrained now. It's kind of weird. And the other thing is, I drive all the way back, get to the conference, get back home from the conference, and my miles on my truck is 147,000 even. .00. That's impressive when you know, I don't know why that excites me, but I don't even know why that, I even mentioned that actually. But anyway, whatever that's all worth. I want to talk to you about the calling of a preacher. And I want to talk to you about, there are two kinds of teachers, and you can't... Did you forget your Bible again, Miss Hampton?
No, we took it out when we unloaded for the conference. It got taken out into some of the stuff.
She just doesn't keep up with that Bible very well. She thinks I'm going to wash her with the Word when I get home.
I have a Spanish one back here. That's why I went to get another one.
These are all teachers. And this is saved, lost. And they're out there teaching like they're saved. So how do you know which one's which? Well, it is out of their mouth. I was going to start down, but I think I'm going to come up just a little bit. Verse 6, I guess. And from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor where they affirm. So there is a group of teachers out there that are lost, and guess what they're teaching? And you know what would go along with law? Sin. That's, if you hear a guy talk about the commandments and about sin, and you got to get rid of sin, and you got to repent of sin, and you got to talk about sin, and sin's the issue, then that person is what?
Lost.
It doesn't matter what they know about the Bible. They can know the details of which every book was written. They can know the details, but they don't know the truth of the book. It's the truth of the book that matters. Not that you know something about the book. There is a lot of people that know something about a book called the Bible. And it's like, surprise, well, that person's lost. Here's that Baptist preacher, and I thought about this. His message came kind of out of hearing him. And thinking about, you know, he's up there affirming things he doesn't even understand about. You know, I mean, listen to what they say. Desiring to be teachers of the law, doing what? Understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. They don't know what to say about the law. I would go to bank that 99.9%, and people say, I'm picking on, how many have felt like I'm picking on religion occasionally?
Amen.
I hope not, because I'm not. You say, you think I'm picking on? You know what it is? Listen, they're preaching things that are damnable. They're preaching things that aren't true. And they can't affirm it. Okay, we keep the commandments. How many here love God with all thy mind, heart, and soul? Okay, people would say, well, I do. I love Jesus so much, you know. Okay, yeah, but do you keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy? No. Then James 2 says, if you keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. Oh, I've never kept a Sabbath day pure. I don't fast during that day. I don't pray 24 hours to the Lord. I'm a hypocrite if I act like I'm keeping the commandments.
That's right. And you do watch the golf.
Usually on Sunday afternoon, you can watch me watching the final round of some golf tournament. And I'm enjoying it. Wayne, I ain't gonna lie.
I'm enjoying my NASCAR too.
So I know. I flip up over to see what you're seeing occasionally. Just so, oh, that's what Wayne's watching. But I don't keep the Sabbath day, and neither does any of them. In fact, hold on here for a minute and go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I appreciate being back here at Grace Bible Church, but I sure enjoyed my fellowship there. Had Deborah come with me, and Larry backed out on me. I didn't want to be alone with Deborah because temptation may be too great for her. And so I thought, well, I told my wife, I said, you're going to the conference. She said, Mother isn't able. And I said, she's going to be able this time, baby. I didn't quite feel safe, you know. I even switched outfits, so I didn't look quite as good as I would normally look. I didn't want her to have temptation, so I took my mother-in-law to keep us straight.
I think you got that reversed.
Oh, no, Brother Wayne. That's not true. Matthew 23. But anyway, so Brenda and Mom got to go with us, and Larry missed out. It was an incredible, probably one of the best conferences I'd seen in a long time. It was just
the preaching
was really good. I'm going to start in 23, verse 1. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They're law keepers, you know, Moses' seat. The emphasis is the law. You may want to put 1 Timothy chapter 1 there, verse 7. These are legal. Now watch. All therefore whatsoever they bid, you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say, and what?
Do not.
You see, sometimes people will put a bigger burden on you than they're willing to put on themselves. It's easy to preach at people that's sitting out in the audience to straighten out your life. You all understand? It's easy to get up here and preach like you got your life straight. You know how many preachers? I thought almost every single preacher that got up said they weren't worth the gunpowder basically to blow them into hell. And I was impressed by that. Even that good-looking preacher he just kind of teed me off a little bit. He's really good-looking. He can really sing. And he could really preach. Now, that just makes you mad as a hornet. And he had on a tie. A good-looking tie with the right... I mean, he looked hip, didn't he?
Yeah.
That just makes me mad. What?
You had on a tie this morning.
I didn't say that.
What?
You had on a tie this morning.
I did? Well, I took it off just for you, baby.
I meant a tie.
Really? I'll wear one next time for you. Now, notice that they do, for they say, everybody, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And I always thought it was interesting, Mac's testimony, Max Stagner. He said, all those years they kept telling me to do it. And he finally got to the point, he said, I can't do this.
That's right.
I mean, there's some of us that the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked, and we think we can do it.
Right.
But the realization is, Matt came to that realization that he wasn't able to keep it all put together. And he was starting to fall apart. Wayne did the same thing. Said, well, okay, first movie I went to, I thought I was going to hell. And it goes downhill rapidly after that, doesn't it? Because you kind of throw up your hands and say, I can't do this.
Right.
And they know that. And so they get this stuff of rededication. How many here has rededicated their lives at least once or twice? Why are you doing that? You never got rid of the original guilt. You wouldn't rededicate your life if it was gone. You thought by your action they were gone, and guess what? Slowly over a period of time, guess what happened? Well, you know, you kind of keep your life good for about the first month after being baptized. You're like, you're as pretty as the white floss teeth on Farrah Fawcett. But then, she has white teeth.
How did she come out?
What?
You just pull that out of the air.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
She was always in my head.
But he was younger.
That's right.
Now I get it.
Anyway, so Farrah Fawcett has these beautiful white teeth. Or you could say as white as the pure, fresh snow. You know? But the realization is in a few weeks, even that precious snow starts to become slush out on the edge, and they've moved that stuff, and there's black snow all over the place because it's just dirt in the road being thrown up on it. And, you know, that beautiful snow then turns into muck. You were going to say something there.
I was going to say, you dedicate and the ones that you had, you know, sinned or gone, then all of a sudden you start re-sinning and re-sinning, and now you got to rededicate for the ones that you've done since the last dedication.
Exactly.
Because you never thought that all of them were gone.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you would feel different if they were totally gone. And, you know, they lay these things on your shoulders, and we feel guilt about it, and we're carrying those guilt on our back to where we can't even stand up straight. Now watch. He says, "For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men." Say that.
To be seen.
That's what they're all about. See, they want to put a fine show like, oh, you know, don't come near unto me. There's a verse in Isaiah. Hold on to here. We're going to come right back. Go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. And this is their attitude. You see, there are two kinds of teachers out there. People teaching you what you really are, if they were honest, would tell you, hey, you're not any good. You're a sinner. Well, that's not... We'd have a bigger crowd if I told them how good they were. I'm telling you, that's true. But in Isaiah 65, look if you will, I think it's in verse 5. Yeah, verse 5. Which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I'm holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all day," and on and on. Hey, come, I'm holier than thou. And you know, preachers act like that because you know what? That you don't want to get to know your preacher very well. Why? Well, ask Tony and Deborah. They went on vacation with theirs. They were like, you know, but hey, I am who I am. I'm not getting to heaven based upon what I'm doing. I'm basing my entire salvation on what Christ did for me.
Amen. But look at the opposite side. You saw who I was too. Speed up, son. Drive faster. Go faster.
Break the law. I ain't breaking the law. We'll go to jail.
I can't afford the ticket.
Oh boy.
And trust me, he can get tickets. Trust me on that one. The only ticket we got.
That's right. That's taking him across the street.
That is funny. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. You see, back in Matthew, all their works they do to be seen of men. And that's how people are. They're trying to impress you with you. People go, well, that Barry, he is just so spiritual. I am. But I'm just like you in the flesh. I am spiritual. but I'm just like you in the flesh. There isn't anything. So over here, these people teach about what? Guess what this one says? And you see the difference in the teaching? One's teaching you that you have to keep the commandments. The other one's telling you not to sin. Then the one that's telling you that it's saved is telling you that the law has been taken out of the way, nailed to his cross. And that your sins have been completely done. You know what? When I heard that, and I know this was true of Wayne, when I finally heard all my sins were gone, you know what I said? Hallelujah. Because I had some zinger sins. You know, everybody has sin. Amen. Everybody has that. But I had a few zinger ones. You know, those ones that you keep tucked back where no one else can see? How many of you have got a sin that they would not want anyone to know about?
One.
No, I mean just one that is so bad that if your friends knew, they would just shake your head.
Yeah, but that leads to another one, so it's not one, it's several, so.
What are you saying, Tony?
There's certain things that this room does not need to know.
That is true. And we all have those, but we may not admit them. You know, I mean, you know, the realization. But one preacher would say, you need to get those thoughts and imaginations under control, as Paul does tell us to do, right? But we try, and what do we find? Shortcomings. So, you know, these people try to act like they're teachers of the law. Go back to 1 Timothy, where we were just starting our message this morning. Verse 7, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Why would I use the commandments? Why would I use the commandments?
To show that we're a sinner and use them lawfully.
Right. So there's a difference in what they teach about the law. This, the law is used to do what? Show or make you know that you're a what?
Sinner.
Why do you think they teach the law over here? To make a man
righteous or lawful.
It's interesting when you start to listen to people preach. Are they using the law to show you that you're not any good, that you're a lawbreaker? Or on this side over here, using the law to show you that you can become righteous by the law. That's where 99.9% of the people lie.
Right.
They're over there saying that, hey, if you'll keep the commandments, and this thing with Judge Rory Moore, yeah, I'm okay with him plastering the law up. I mean, it should be his legal right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? In my office, I'm going to hang whatever I want in my office. But unfortunately, the people that were behind him were like, hey, that's how a man gets righteous.
Right.
When the real saved man, the real saved teacher is going to teach you about the law.
Right.
Why did the law enter?
That
sin might abound. Can anybody quote me where that verse is?
Romans 5
verse 20 and Romans 7 verse 13. I mean, there's verses that teach it. Yet they don't teach those verses because they want you to think in your mind that it's you doing good that brings you about to being a Christian.
Right.
Thus, the rededication. Deborah, are you going to have to ever get rededicated again, baby? Probably not. How about you, Wayne?
No way.
Why would you do that once you know the truth? The truth shall make you what?
Free.
Doesn't set you free, makes you free. You have to be set free up here. Man, well, I don't have to rededicate it. Why would I do that? The only reason that you would have to rededicate is someone put you into this condition over here. That's the only reason you'd rededicate. You know, we preached on Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the
flesh.
So over here it would be like, hey, you can do this in your flesh. You can do this in your goodness and on. But this person doesn't talk about the flesh. Why? We're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And we put no confidence. Why? These people put confidence into the flesh. We're confident of the spirit. What? I mean, this is vastly different. And people say, well, you're just always talking about other churches. Well, you know, come on, guys. I'm trying to warn you that 99.9. How many here has been to a church that they told you to repent of your sins?
Amen.
How many here did repent of their sins?
Amen.
I mean, why? Well, if you'd have known the truth, you wouldn't have done that. You think me sitting in those churches right now, I would repent of my sin? Even if he told me? You and I do if that man told me to repent of my sins? I'd stand up and try to win them to the Lord. Or take them off to the side and try to show them the truth. And that's why God chose Paul. See, Paul in the flesh looked like he had it all going on. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Hold on to 1 Timothy because we're coming back. Go to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. There it is. Why? We're not going to be talking about the flesh. Why? Say the flesh is no good. What does Paul say about the flesh? That is in my flesh. You all got it? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Well, if you think you're still finding it, you're on the wrong side. You're under the delusion. See, Paul's trying to tell you the delusion's been broken. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If you have confidence in the flesh, you know what you are? Lost. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man think he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh. I have more reason to trust in the flesh than anybody here, Paul's saying. I mean, listen to this. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. See, Paul knew all those things couldn't save him. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. See, Paul's an example to the believer. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul didn't trust his flesh. If you trust your flesh, you're foolish. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, was the law made for me?
No.
Am I righteous?
Yes.
How did I get that righteousness?
In Christ.
I was imputed that righteousness. The law of imputation. And I thought, by the way, Steve Atwood did a great job of that at the conference. You know? It's not made for a righteous man. How many times have you heard, now since you're saved, see, this is what the lost people say, now since you're saved, you want to keep the law.
Right.
How many times have you heard that kind of philosophy? Yeah. It's a lost man saying that.
That's right.
That's exactly what they're teaching. From this point of your salvation, you keep the law. Why? You've got the Spirit in you now. Right. You didn't have that before. That's what they teach.
Right.
Now you got to show your Christian walk. You got.
Well, that's right.
You got to prove that you're now more religious, more sanctified, more justified.
You have more control over it because you're now quickened with the Holy Spirit. That's what they teach, isn't it? But he just said that the law was not made for a what?
Righteous man.
Why? What was the law made for?
To show that you were a sinner.
Yeah, it was a schoolmaster to bring us on to Christ. It was the teacher that should have shown us, man, we're in need. That these teaching differences I heard in every preacher that stood up behind the pulpit this weekend. I used to say these things. Now I'm saying these things. I was foolish over here, but I'm now telling you what I was saying.
I didn't understand what I was reading.
That was fascinating, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. A guy said, man, I used to read the Bible and had no clue what it was saying. And one girl came up to him and said, how do I know I've been saved? And he said, well, sister, you know that you've been loved by the brethren and you help around the church and you do all these nice things. Of course you're evidence that you're saved. And of course, well, that's what he said. And you know, he found out that wasn't true. He says he's glad he's got the answer now. That was fascinating.
2 Corinthians said, examine yourself.
Yeah, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 5. Absolutely. And that's what he was talking about. You see, when you think about the truth, it's vastly different than what most people are preaching. In fact, I know very few preachers, that room was filled with them, that knew the truth and stood for it. But look what he says. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. So it isn't a law, isn't made designed after you become righteous. Again, why would they think that you should do this after you're saved? Because they equate it with what?
Righteousness.
And what kind of person would that be?
A lost.
I mean, they're not saved. Absolutely dependent upon themselves. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Gosh, you guys are just throwing these things at me. Keep throwing them, man. It makes this preaching easier. It is tough to say. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but so who is it made for? For the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Whose trust?
Paul's.
He calls it my gospel three places. Can anyone give those three to me? All right, write them here. That's what you need to write. Romans 2, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8.
Romans 2, 16.
That's Romans 2:16.
Right.
Yeah.
And then 2 Timothy.
1 verse 7, or 8 actually. And Romans 16:25. See, I threw that one last because I forgot where it was.
2 Timothy is what chapter?
2 Timothy chapter 1.
Yes, 7 and 8.
8, I think it is.
Yeah.
8.
Wait, now I got it wrong. I thought you said
2 Timothy 2:8.
2 Timothy 2:8. And then
1 Timothy. No, not 1 Timothy. We're in 1 Timothy. You're writing it there.
Okay.
Romans 2, verse 16.
Right.
And Romans 16:25. Okay. He calls it my gospel. I want to jump down to verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, he says, who was before a blasphemer? Well, remember in Matthew chapter 12, he said blasphemy could not be forgiven. And you may want to put Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. That's where that reference is. And if you want to know where he blasphemed, it was Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60.
Matthew what?
12, 31 and 32. I know it's rough not having your wife there, but I appreciate her doing that. I know you're really giving of the Lord to let your wife be of a help in this ministry.
I understand. And
Acts.
I'll ride with you over the weekends.
I know, that temptation. I
be with another man all weekend.
I know. And she came home with a smile on her face. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she did. Came home with a big smile. Why are
you reading? It's amazing.
Oh, is that what it was?
Man, I know a way to a woman's heart. Buy her ice cream.
Okay. After Matthew,
Acts 7, 54 through 60.
Seven.
And he said, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is the faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm what?
Chief.
Now, why did he say I'm chief of sinners?
First, he's saying he's the first to you.
Yeah, but why was he the chief sinner? Because he had blasphemed, right. And according to Matthew chapter 12, there's no hope for blasphemers.
Right.
That would make him the chief. I mean, he's saying I'm as a blasphemer. Well, what was under the law?
Unforgivable.
It was unforgivable if you committed idolatry, which is basically blasphemy, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he said, right in Matthew, it says, not in this world, neither in the world to come will it be forgiven.
Right.
So he's thinking he's achieved. If I can be forgiven, then anybody can be forgiven from whatever they are. And that's why he makes that point of the chief sinner.
Right.
So over here, where they're saying the law is it, Paul's saying, hey, you don't need the law. No law is needed. Why? It's not made for a righteous man. You don't need, listen, if you're righteous, how much more righteous are you going to be by the things you do? I'm righteous because he imputed to me his righteousness. He gave to me his righteousness. I'm robed in his righteousness.
Not mine.
Well, amen. And so then he says, verse 16, howbeit, we're going to stop a little early, I guess. After running late at the conference, I feel like I'm going to go early today. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him. The life. So who's the pattern?
Paul.
Paul is the pattern over here. He's the copy you're making. I'm drawing this like a board, or,
right.
You know.
I guess the
12. And, no! You know who the book pattern is over here?
Man.
Jesus is the pattern.
Okay, I thought he's teaching to.
You know, what would Jesus do?
Right.
They teach you to follow who?
Jesus.
Well, they would teach you would Jesus teach you the law?
Yes.
It's not until you get to the Apostle Paul that you actually talk about being saved. Why? These people don't know they're saved until they get to the very end.
That's right.
Thus the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, thus the rededication, thus all the personal and effects. And so you listen to these guys who, and I thought that guy who was a Baptist preacher really let out what was going on. Steve Atwood, same way. Preached as a lost preacher. Jerry Sanders, another one.
Yeah, it was funny that the Baptist preacher.
Brian Sipes, another one.
Yeah, the Baptist preacher actually said, you know, he would have scriptures, and he said, I couldn't figure out how to explain them, so he would go find doctrines and passages and preach how other pastors had explained away what he couldn't explain away.
Well, and they didn't really explain it away well either.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they do. See, what we're taught to do is if you don't understand a passage, the reason you don't understand it is you're just not smart enough. So what do? You go to the commentaries. Thus, they have libraries filled with books.
That's right.
Tony, what did I tell you what you need?
The Bible only, no commentaries. Quit reading the books and the commentaries.
That's right. You know why they're doing that? That's exactly what the Baptist preacher was doing. He was running to the commentaries to explain the verses he couldn't explain. And the realization is that's the difference. So you all take a 15-minute break.